with me in your Bible to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We'll be there in just a moment. And as you're finding that, the Bible tells us that we should give honor to whom honor is due. And so this morning, I want to recognize four individuals in our church, actually members of our church staff, that in the last month, we celebrated their 15-year anniversary of serving here at Bethel Church. Now, that says a lot about our church, that we have so many wonderful staff that have stayed around for so long. And so I want to recognize this morning, and just hold your applause until the end, but want to recognize, first of all, Sue Grison. Sue's probably downstairs working. There she is right there. Sue Grison works with in our office. She's our assistant to our youth pastor and our student minister, our children's pastor. And Sue serves our church so diligently and wonderfully. We're thankful for her. And then also Lynn Bransom, Lynn was here singing a moment ago. She'll probably be in the next service. But Lynn serves as our office manager, and she has been with us for 15 years. And then also Pastor Roger and Teresa Hutley had this last week celebrated 15 years here on our Bethel staff. Would you give these individuals just a great thank you? Appreciate every one of them. And let me mention this too. One of the great privileges that we have as your pastors is to pray for you. Tomorrow, our church staff, we're going to gather together, our pastors, we're going to gather together for a special time of praying for our church family. And if you have any kind of prayer need that you'd like us to pray for tomorrow, we would love to pray for you specifically and by name. You can use that Connect card. There's a place to put prayer requests on the back of that. And if you want to just write out a prayer request, hand it to one of the pastors today. We will be praying for you tomorrow. We ask one thing in return. We ask that tomorrow you would pray for us. Okay? Good trade. So we're gonna lift you up in prayer tomorrow and be praying for our church. Well, Romans chapter 8 is a story about an age-old battle, a battle. It's not a military battle. It's not a political battle. It's not a battle of ideas and ideologies. It's the battle that's taking place within each one of us 24/7 in our lives. It's the battle between the flesh, what the Bible calls the flesh, and the spirit. Okay? The flesh is basically those decisions that we make in life, those actions that we take where we don't consider God. That's the flesh. And the flesh is constantly, even in a believer's life, in a battle with the Holy Spirit that God has placed in us. Battle between the flesh and the spirit. And Paul goes into great detail here in Romans chapter 8. We're going to start at verse 5 about this conflict between the flesh and the spirit. This is a key passage in understanding what's going on in your life. All right? And so let's read this. I'll start at verse 5. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. But it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. I'm going to back up, and because I think this one verse really encapsulates this entire passage. I'm going to back up to verse 6. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. I want you to pay special attention to that word governed. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. When I was a teenager, and even up into my college years, I remember some of the old-time Pentecostal preachers using a word that I wasn't familiar with when it came to the Holy Spirit. They would say, we need to be imbued with the Holy Spirit. Imbued with the Holy Spirit. Now, I got to admit, I had no idea what they were talking about. But they made it sound really important. And they seemed to be really close to God. So I said, okay, yeah, if that's what they got, then that's what I want. Lord, imbue me with your Holy Spirit. I don't know what it means, but God, that's what I want. Well, now I know what that word imbued means. To imbue something, the original meaning of that word, means to dye it in order to change its color. To dye something to change its color. And so to be imbued with the Holy Spirit means to be so filled with and saturated with the Holy Spirit that it changes us. We live less like the world and more like Jesus. I look less like Tim used to look and more like what Jesus wants me to be. To be imbued with the Holy Spirit. To be influenced by the Holy Spirit. To be so governed by the Holy Spirit that it changes the way I act, the way I talk. It changes my heart. It changes my attitudes. It changes everything about me to be imbued by the Holy Spirit. This passage, this verse, gives us two great promises and one important question. The two great promises, the mind governed by the Spirit is what? Life and peace. This is what God promises us. When we are influenced by the Holy Spirit, governed by the Holy Spirit, the end result will be that we will have life and peace. How many of you could just use a little more life? Anybody here? Yeah, a little more life. And how many of you could use a lot more peace? Anybody here? Yeah. These are the results of being governed by the Spirit of God. Life and peace. Two wonderful, beautiful promises from God. And then there's one important question. It's not worded here, but it's implied. And the question is this: who is really leading my life? Who is my life being governed by? Am I really being governed by the Spirit? Or am I being governed by the flesh? I think all of us as Christians, when asked the question, who's leading your life, we'd all like to say, well, Jesus is, of course, right? We'd like to say that. We want to say that, and we want to be able to say it honestly and really believe it. But the reality is, so many times we get distracted. We get distracted. Distracted. There's an interesting story in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, and it's a story of when Jesus was 12 years old, and his parents, Mary and Joseph, took him from their hometown of Nazareth to Jerusalem to observe the Passover. And so they're there for the Passover week. At the end of the Passover week, they pack up the family and they head back to Nazareth, except for one thing. Mary and Joseph forgot Jesus. And the Bible says they got a whole day away before they realized Jesus wasn't with them. And then they turn around, they go back to Jerusalem, and they didn't find him for 3 days. Could you imagine looking for your 12-year-old son for 3 days before they found him? Now, listen, I'm going to cut Mary and Joseph a little slack here. I don't believe that they were bad parents. God chose them for a reason. I don't believe they were trying to get rid of Jesus. I think probably what happened is they just got distracted. By this time, there were younger siblings. There were little brothers and sisters running around and probably had a lot to manage. I don't believe that they were bad parents. I believe that they just got distracted, and when they got distracted, they just forgot to look for Jesus. And so, church, we must remember that it's easy in life to get distracted. It's not that Christians are saying, no, Jesus, I don't want you in my life anymore. As much as we just get preoccupied, we get so busy, we get distracted. So I want to just talk about that a little bit this morning, about the power of distraction. We must, as believers, ruthlessly eliminate any distraction that gets between us and Jesus, right? And so let's talk about that a little bit. And the first thing that I want to say about distraction is that we are all susceptible to distraction. Are you kidding me? In this culture, in the day and age in which we live, there's a lot of distractions. We are all susceptible to distraction. I'm gonna just use this as a point of reference this morning as an illustration. Would you hand me my phone there? Thank you, honey. All right. How many of you find yourself, this can be a distraction? Right? Okay, now, the average person who owns a smartphone checks their smartphone every 4 minutes. Every 4 minutes. That means by the time I'm done preaching today, you're going to check your smartphone or be tempted to check your smartphone or feel like checking your smartphone probably 6 or 7 more times, right? And it's no wonder. I mean, there's so much on these things, okay? I mean, it's a phone, but also for me, I'm getting my text messages, my email, my internet access. My Bible is on here, so that's good. Social media access. My camera's on here. My photos are on here. Notes, maps, and then if you've got games on your phone, there's that whole thing. Do you know the GPS on your phone? These things are so amazing. The GPS on your phone processes at a speed 30,000 times faster than the 70-pound computer that navigated Apollo 11 to the moon. And it's all there, right there on your phone. Most people look at their smartphone within 1 minute of waking up in the morning. And 75% of Christians admit that they look at their phone before they look at their Bible in the morning. Now listen, I'm not against smartphones. I have one. I use it all the time. But I do think, as followers of Jesus Christ, we need to take an honest look at how these guys are changing our lives, right? The distraction that they can become. Combine with that the distraction of social media. The people down there at the Facebook say that your average Facebook user is on Facebook almost an hour a day. Big time distraction. Digital distraction is an addiction in our land, like any other addiction. We use it to avoid thinking about things that stress us out, but in reality, in using it over and over again, we get more stressed out. Behavioral scientists and psychologists almost all agree that excessive screen time leads to anxiety, depression, inability to concentrate. And so for Christians, it becomes difficult to focus on Jesus. It becomes difficult to think about God's word. It becomes difficult even sometimes to spend more than 5 minutes in prayer because our minds start to wander off to something else. In other words, we have spiritual ADD. Now again, I'm not saying throw this in the garbage, it's of the devil. I am saying as believers, we need to recognize the world that we live in, the culture that we live in, and the things that are affecting us and things that can distract us from Jesus. Another cultural thing that's a distraction for us is we're drifting away from real relationships with real people. We're neglecting real relationships. We spend more time online than we do with real people. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but people online, they can get kind of mean. Anybody ever notice that? I mean, people get mean, and then as believers, we can get sucked into that. We find our spirit just getting drugged down with some of the rhetoric. Listen, Jesus created you to have real relationships with real people. Here's what Jesus said in John chapter 15 to his disciples. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Now again, I want you to see the promise there. The great promise is we'll have joy. We'll have joy. The condition of that joy is to love one another the way Jesus has loved us. Real relationships, church. They bring joy. They add to our lives. We're so distracted by social media that we don't have time for one another. Jesus commanded us to love one another, to stay connected with one another. And the result of that connection is going to be joy. God has hardwired us to live in relationship with other people. So this modern mantra of I want to follow Christ, but I don't want to get involved at church, it's just nowhere found in the Bible. God wants us to connect. We were built to connect. And your personality, it can come out somewhat on Facebook and somewhat in an email or a text message, but only somewhat. We need to connect because we're made out of flesh and blood. And these things require being together. So, for example, you can't get baptized on Facebook. Right? You can't do communion on Twitter. There are things that God has set up in his word that we must be present with one another to do. There's a reason for that. Now, look at the nut. Don't walk out, all right? I'm not trying to start something here, but I want you to look at this passage of Scripture. It's in the Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 12. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All right, I'm not trying to start anything this morning, okay. Now listen, we might think, well, that's such an obscure thing. That same exact command is found four times in the New Testament. Four times, okay? Again, we're not going to start a kissing thing this morning. But I'm just saying there was something about them being together and doing life with one another. You're more than a digital persona. You're a real person with flesh and blood. You were made to smile. You were made to laugh. You were made to embrace, to connect, to cry. You were made to be in relationship with others. And when we're not, oh man, we get so lonely and that joy isn't there. We must fight off the distraction that takes us away from being connected to one another. Thirdly, your soul needs to have a place to rest. Anybody want to say amen to this one? Your soul needs to have a place to rest. From the time our daughter Jennifer, who's 27 now, from the time she was pretty young, and especially in her teenage years, her early adult years, she had some kind of misalignment with her jaw. And the end result was her teeth would never match up quite right, and her jaw would never have a resting place. And so her jaw would always be sore because her jaw never had a resting place. I want you to know today, your spirit needs to have a resting place. Your soul needs to rest. There's a big reason that God gave the command to observe the Sabbath. And it's found not one time, many times throughout the scriptures, this idea of Sabbath. And it's not a legalistic thing. It's something your soul and your spirit need. How many of you believe with all your heart that God actually knows what's best for us? Amen? God actually knows what's best for us. And there's part of us that just wants to rebel against that, and, oh, that's so legalistic, and I'm going to do my own thing, and that's so old-fashioned, observing the Sabbath. There's a reason God talks about it because God knows we need it. Your soul needs to rest. And we get distracted by so many things. Our souls get weary and tired because we are not resting. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31 says this: those that wait upon God get fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and don't lag behind. So that takes us back to what we learned earlier in Romans 8, that the spirit, that the person who is governed, the mind that is governed by the spirit, is life and peace, right? It's life and peace. One of the questions that all of us have to answer in our hearts is, does God really have the goods? I mean, is doing it God's way really the best way? Does God really have my best interests? And does God really have the goods? And that's the question that's been asked, by the way, since the beginning of time. That's the question that the enemy challenged Eve with when he asked, can't you eat from any tree here? And Eve says, no, we can't eat of this one. Well, you know, God really knows that if you eat from that tree, then your eyes are going to be opened up and you're going to be like God. The big question the devil was basically saying to Eve, God doesn't really have the goods. God's not enough. You need to take matters into your own hands. Do we really trust that doing it God's way is the best way? Life and peace. And then number four, it's the last one. God has sent his Holy Spirit into our lives to empower us to live for him. Romans chapter 8 and verse 6 again. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the spirit is life and peace. When God wanted to transform your life, he didn't send you to a guru. He didn't hand you a book. He didn't send you to a school. When God wanted to transform your life, he sent you a person. He sent you the Holy Spirit to actually live in you and empower you to live for him. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the spirit is life and peace. How we need, church, God's Holy Spirit to transform us, amen? To change us. I want to challenge us all today. Let's be ruthless about those distractions that are pulling us out of the presence of God. You see, a lot of times as Christians, we look at things and we're making decisions about, should I do this? Shouldn't I do this? And if there's not a direct, like, Bible command that says, don't do this, then we kind of think, oh, okay, well, then I'll go ahead and do that. You know, not everything that's legal for us to do is wise for us to do. Right? Not everything that's legal for us to do is wise for us to do. You got to ask yourself, what is this actually going to do to my life? How is this going to change me? What is this going to cost me? And if it's costing you your soul, Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? Now, when Jesus said that, he wasn't saying it's wrong to make money. He wasn't saying that. He was saying, hey, guard your soul. Guard your soul. It's not wrong to make money, but for some people, money will cost them their soul. Does that make sense? Yeah. Just because there's no command against it doesn't mean you should do it, because it can become something that's a distraction, a distraction. And the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Now, listen, church, the devil wants to derail you, but I can tell you, when I'm looking out here, I am seeing a mighty army for God. A mighty army for God. If we will ruthlessly set aside distraction and with all whole hearts pursue God and go after him, I'm telling you, watch out, devil. Amen? Watch out, devil. Well, I'm going to close this morning with a prayer. And it's going to feel like this prayer has nothing to do with anything I've talked about. But it really does, because we're going to pray about this verse right here. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 1. This is one I want to pray over your life today. The righteous are as bold as a lion. Everybody say it together. The righteous are as bold as a lion. The righteous are as bold as a lion. I want to pray that boldness in our lives today. The righteous are as bold as a lion. You see, there are a lot of Christians that are what I would call in survival mode. Survival mode, just kind of just getting by. God wants to just get you out of survival mode. God wants you to go in lion mode. All right? Anybody here want to move from survival mode to lion mode? All right, and just to make this more, you know, kind of more popular vernacular, instead of lion mode, we're going to talk about beast mode, okay? We're going to get out of survival mode, and we're going to go full on beast mode. I want to go beast mode in my prayer life. I want to go beast mode in going after Jesus. I want to go beast mode in seeing every one of my family members find Jesus. Amen? I want to go full on beast mode in making a difference in Medford. I want to go full on beast mode in seeing people's lives changed. Amen? Full on beast mode. Everybody say it with me. Beast mode. Beast mode. Come on. Yeah. And you know, in the Bible, there's a few places that just talk about the importance of stirring ourselves up. Stirring ourselves up, because the devil wants to neutralize us. And I want to pray today, God, make us as bold as a lion. Make us as bold as a lion for you. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. Church, let's stand together. Worship team, come on up. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's lift our hands to the Lord. God, make me bold as a lion. Make me bold as a lion. God, I don't want to be in survival mode. Lord, I don't want to hang out in survival mode. God, I don't want to be distracted. God, I don't want to be just barely getting by, Lord. God, I want to go full beast mode for you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want to be as bold as a lion for you, God. Lord, I want everything that you have for me. God, I want my mind to be governed by your Spirit. I want my mind to be governed by your Spirit, not governed by the flesh, Lord. Not governed by the distractions of this world, Lord. God, I submit my heart to you today, Lord. Have your way. Have your way. Thank you, Lord. Now, church, right now, I just want to ask you to just be open to the Lord. If there's a distraction in your life right now, I mean, there's just something that's It's just honestly, it's getting between you and God. And it doesn't mean that God has stopped loving you. And it doesn't mean you've stopped loving God. It's just that this other thing now has become a distraction to your relationship with God so that you can easily and honestly say, man, my relationship with God is really not what I want it to be. And it's not where I want it to be. And if that's you today, would you just raise up your hand right now? Just lift your hand up. Yeah, you're just saying, I want my relationship with God to be more than it is right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up those that are just being honest, lifting up that hand, saying, I want my relationship with you to be more than it is right now. For some in this room, they've known more, they've walked in more, and they've become distracted, and they know it, Lord. It's not that they're a bad person, but they're a distracted person. God, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, that they will ruthlessly cut out whatever it is that's distracting them. God, that we will not live on the laurels of our past, God. We won't say, well, I used to do this, I used to do that, I used to be more involved, I used to pray more, I used to read my Bible. But God, we will live in the now, Lord. We will live in what you have for us today, God, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. For those that they're just kind of starting out, Lord, the journey is new to them. And maybe the road's been a little bumpy and they feel a little distracted. God, I pray that today they would just be encouraged. God, that in you there really is life and there really is peace, God. That the distractions of this world, God, are never going to give true life and peace. God, it's only found in you, God, that you have the goods. You have the goods, Lord. And so I pray today, God, that you will make us as bold as a lion. As bold as a lion. Thank you, Lord.